Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and are always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. Today's guest is Rachel Linden. Rachel is a published author of multiple women's fiction books. In this episode, Rachel talks about how her experience doing humanitarian work inspired her latest work, her writing process, and of course, her round of book recommendations. Now let's get to the show. Hi, Rachel. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am located in beautiful, if slightly gray, Seattle, Washington, and I am a mom of two young kids, and I write women's literary fiction, and I've been an international aid worker and have traveled to 50 countries.
I love it. So let's talk about your experience as an international worker with a faith-based organization. What inspired you to do this work?
You know, I love people and I love to help. And I think I realized there was so much need in the world. And from a very young age, I really wanted to do something internationally to try to meet that need. So I always knew I would live internationally and I always wanted to be doing something like faith-based aid work overseas.
I love it. So you traveled to over 50 countries. What are some of the most memorable experiences?
Oh my goodness. We have had so many crazy adventures. There have been night trains through Moldova where you wake up and the train, they're switching the sides of wheels on the train and you wake up and your train has been lifted up by a magnet like 6 feet above the ground in the middle of the night. And there I have been in like an overfilled dugout canoe in Fiji on a rain-swollen river. I have showered with pigs. I have slept in caves in Turkey. I have done all kinds of crazy things. But there have been so many fun adventures, but the people that I have met and gotten to work with are the things that stand out the most.
I imagine that's something that stands out. It's like, you know, the people going to be connecting with the community that makes an impact to the experience.
Yep.
So you're a published author of three books. What was your journey to get your first book published?
It was, there was a lot of luck and a lot of, just a lot of things aligning, a lot of grace on that process. So I worked on my first manuscript for probably about 6 years. And then I just decided I've always wanted to do this professionally. Let's just go for it. And we were living in Budapest at the time. We were still doing aid work, but I just really wanted to take this next step in my career. And so I had met an agent a number of years before, and I ended up contacting him. He loved the book. He took me on. And I contacted several agents. Everybody said no, but he said yes. So that's all you need is one yes. Mm-hmm. And then he got me a couple book contract with HarperCollins. And then, so this is my third novel in 3 years, and it's been wonderful. It is a very steep learning curve, and it has been both exhilarating and difficult and wonderful all at the same time.
I love it. So what inspired you to write women's fiction?
Well, you know, I love to write about the themes of hope, courage, and connection. And I love to read and write about strong women facing big challenges and learning how to be brave. And so I like reading historical fiction, but I do not love to research. So contemporary women's fiction was a great fit to be able to do those things, to really explore what it means for a woman to have courage in facing all these difficult issues. And I always put some social justice themes in my books as well, which fit really well in, and also travel and food. So those things just go really well in contemporary women's fiction.
Yeah, I love the book that it features a strong female protagonist that is struggle with, you know, trying to figure out her own sense and her own way. But it was a strong character. Like, there was a lot of development in the character. And, you know, something that I tend to gravitate towards whenever I look for women's fiction, I tend to gravitate to strong characters who just go through a transformation of some sort.
Yeah, because that's amazing to read. I mean, that's what we want. We want to see people growing. We want to kind of grow along with them in their struggle and their triumph and their sorrow, and because it creates empathy, and that's what we want. We want to feel a story. And so I want to be writing books that feel, that people feel along with, and that at the end they feel hope, courage, and connection as a result of that story.
Yeah. So let's talk about your writing. Do you follow an outline, or do you just see where the story leads you?
I sort of fall in the middle. So I will start a book and I have a general idea of where it's going to go. I'll know the characters, I'll know the general story arc, but a lot of the details in the middle I kind of figure out as I go along, and sometimes they take me in surprising directions. So sometimes I think it will go in one direction, and I had a story where I thought a character was going to die, and I got to that point and thought, oh, no, she doesn't want to die. Actually, she lives. And so it kind of changed her character arc, obviously, and the plot arc a bit.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So how do you organize yourself as a writer? How do you keep track of the ideas, inspirations, characters? No, the whole process.
I have like a really old school Word document on my laptop, on my Mac Air, that just says story inspirations. And I'll just put in a little line. And usually what I do, I'll have a couple ideas rolling around like marbles in my mind for a year or two before I decide to do something with them. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of roll them around and think about them and develop them a little bit and think, do I want to spend a couple years with these people pursuing this storyline? Maybe, maybe not. Is this worth it? Is this grabbing me? Is it going somewhere? So a lot of it is just I'm keeping it in my mind and kind of playing with it.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because you have to, it's an investment of time and energy. It's like not just writing a draft, but also iterations and the whole process of getting a book published. You're going to be spending quite some time with those characters and their experience.
Yeah, you really want to like those characters, and you really want to write this, like the story, because you're going to read it over and over and over and over. It's kind of like getting married.
Yeah, I can imagine. So do you share your work along the way, or do you wait till it's completed for others to read?
I wait until it's almost completed. I often will share my ideas early with a couple trusted people who will be great sounding boards. My husband is one of them. My best friend is one of them. She's an avid reader, and my husband's a really good editor. And so I'm able to just talk them through it. And they're like, oh, okay, here are holes in the story. Here's a way you can strengthen it. Oh, I love this. I think this will resonate really well. And then after several drafts, then I'll let my husband, he's my alpha reader, I'll let him read it and give me feedback. And then I send it out to a small select group of test readers to get feedback before it goes to my editor and the publishing house.
Okay, that's a really neat process where you get to get some feedback before you know, taking it to the editor and just going through the whole process. So now let's talk about the alignment of these. As we mentioned before, you have done humanitarian work. So how much of your experience was reflected in this book?
Oh, goodness, a lot of it. I write, all of my books have quite a lot of autobiographical content because I'm writing about places I love, interesting experiences I've had that I'm able to weave into the story, which I think makes the story stronger because they're really full of authentic details and places where I've actually had my feet on the ground and lived and worked. But these, even more than the others, have some autobiographical content. One of them, I know you just read the book, The Shark Scene. Totally happened to me. I was totally chased by a bull shark in Florida a few years ago on this awful wedding weekend when I was with a guy who turned out to be way more interested in somebody else I was at the wedding with than me. So yeah, so that's autobiographical. It was horrible. And we escaped with all of our limbs, but I thought, this is so crazy. I've got to put a shark chase scene in a book sometime. And that book was Bees. So yeah, and the proposal sort of situation, that was also quite autobiographical. So Bees has a lot, and I've been to Mumbai. I was working in the refugee camps on the border of Hungary during the refugee crisis. So all of these things, the main parts of the book, are very much drawn from my own personal experiences.
I love it. So did you do some research further from your experience, and especially with the refugee camp, or was it just mainly autobiographical, which is totally, if you felt like you were in the refugee camp, but I'm curious to hear, did you do some further research, or was it just your experience?
I did a little bit of further research, but a lot of it was just to corroborate what I remembered of my experience. Yeah. So a lot of it was looking up things and going, okay, did this happen then? What was the timeline of certain things, governmental policies, where were people headed, what was the bus system going out of the camps, just these different things. So I took a few liberties in the story just for the sake of the story, but in general, what I wrote about was very much my experience volunteering in that camp.
I love it. Yeah, I love that you mentioned Budapest because that's like my favorite city of all time. So I was like, oh, there's Budapest. Yeah, so it was kind of like a fun stopover. That was just like a fun travel. And then it's like, then humanitarian war gets to the real meat of things. But
yes. Yeah, Budapest. We lived there for 5 years. We lived right by Parliament and it was just phenomenal. It's such a gorgeous city. We loved it. My last book, Becoming the Talbot Sisters, is set mostly in Budapest and in Central Europe. So both of these have kind of a love letter to Budapest because it really is my adopted city. And I love Seattle as well. Seattle is home, but I do miss Europe and Budapest.
I'm going to pick up that book now. So thank you. So in this story, Mia has to lose it all in order to put her life back together. And as much as fun as an author was to create a clean slate for you, how much fun was it for you to create a clean slate for Mia as a main character?
Well, as I mentioned, that part of it is quite autobiographical. You know, I was planning my wedding my senior year of university, and the guy that I was planning my wedding with just sort of ended things very unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. And so there is a clean slate. And when it's happening to you, it's absolutely terrifying. But in retrospect, it was one of the very best things that ever happened to me in my life. And it mm-hmm. allowed me to really blossom into much more than I would have been had I pursued the path that I was planning on. And so it was fun to write that character arc for Mia from a mm-hmm. bit of a place of a bit more maturity, going, don't worry, I know how this feels. I can empathize mm-hmm. with this, but it's going to be okay. And this is actually going to take you better places than you could imagine.
Yeah, I really love the fact that she was like, that things were falling into place, but she just took the action or she just stepped into it. You know, even taking this trip was just more like, oh, I don't want to, you know, my heart's broken, but I'm not going to sit here and wallow with it. You know, I'm mm-hmm. thinking I'm going to go on this trip. And, you know, I've seen how that trickle, that snowball into a different experience that shifted her experience completely, which was amazing to witness. As a reader, it's definitely one of those things where it's like, it's great that you get to see that clean slate and see the transformation.
I had an early, it's so interesting that you say that. I'm glad to hear that because I had an earlier draft of the story. It was actually when my husband read and he was like, you know, I just feel like Mia could be more. And I started thinking about what the more would be. And I thought, she's too timid. What if every place she says no, I have her saying yes? What would that look like if she just mm-hmm. said yes? So I went back through the manuscript and I strengthened her and I had her say yes and have more courage and more initiative. And it made her character really pop and come alive. And I think that's what makes her story exciting because she does kind of throw herself. She just says yes. And she doesn't know where it's going to end up, but it ends up in a really good place.
Mm-hmm. I love the saying that you had I think it was Delphine, the doctor, who said the sweet spot is finding your greatest passion where you can relieve the greatest pain. In your experience, did you find this within your writing or was it on your work experience or what was it where you found that greatest passion where you relieve the greatest pain?
I found it in both. It's a combination. So if I had only been doing writing, I think I would have felt something lacking, and only doing international aid work, I also felt there was something lacking in what I wanted to be able to give the world. And so I feel like what I'm doing now, doing both, I'm still participating in some international work and I'm writing books about a lot of these themes. And it's a fabulous combination for me. And I do feel like I'm in my sweet spot. I feel like the place where my greatest passions have met the world's pain and I'm able to give something good, I'm doing it. And that is a wonderful and fulfilling feeling. And I think that's a different place for all of us. The sweet spot is different for all of us. And mm-hmm. for Mia, it's different. You know, the sweet spot that she finds relates to baking. Mm-hmm. But we all have a sweet spot. And I am so excited to hear that people find it. I love when I talk to someone and they're like, yeah, I love what I'm doing. This is fantastic. I love what I'm able to give the world. And I want that for everybody. I want that for every reader.
Yeah, I love that reminder. I think for so long, you know, my own experience for so long, I was like looking for my passion, looking for my purpose. And, you know, I stumbled upon it. And it was just one of those things where it's like, oh, this is it. And, you know, there was no question. And it was just like, oh, this is what I'm doing. And it's fun. And it's great. And I get to be of service in a way that makes an impact. Same time, I get to enjoy the process. And it's not just one thing. It's like multiple things, as you mentioned. It's not just writing or just going doing international work. It's actually the combination of things that you know, you get to be in that sweet spot and you get to be of service to others.
Yes, exactly. I kind of joke that I feel like in leading the life I'm leading, I feel like, especially being an author, I get to eat cake all day. That's how much I enjoy it. I enjoy it and I love cake. I enjoy it like I'm eating cake all day. And I feel like when you find your sweet spot, it feels as enjoyable as that. It feels like a celebration and it feels like a delight because what you're doing, I think it's really kind of probably what you're meant to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true. So let's talk about the role of the bees in the story. So why bees in particular?
Well, bees, in a lot of folklore, bees symbolize wisdom. And I always like to put a little bit of mystical, a little bit of whimsy in my stories because I believe that we're transcendent beings and I believe in a spiritual realm. And so I want to make sure that every story has a little bit of mystery and a little bit of unexpectedness in it to say, hey, we don't have everything completely logically figured out. There's also this kind of spiritual aspect to the journey that we go on. And so for her, she's having these dreams about bees, that bees are leading her toward a new path in life. And she was also raised on a lavender farm. And there are beautiful lavender farms around Seattle. And so I got to go to the lavender farms, do research and taste things. And that was really fun. But there are bees everywhere in the lavender farm. And I just kept thinking, there's something about bees here and bees leading her. And so that's where the title comes from as well.
I love it. Yeah, I love the role of it because it brought a little sparkle into the story. It just brought this idea of like intuition, guidance, you know, kind of like reminders of like there's something bigger than her story, than what she was struggling with or what she was experiencing. That it was just like there's a bigger purpose behind it. So
exactly. That's such a good way to say it. Yeah, like there's a higher purpose to her life and what she's supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Now let's get to a round of book recommendations. So this is an opportunity for you to share with our audience what they should read next. We'll talk about favorite genres, authors, and books. So are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. So what is
I feel like favorite? I'm on a game show.
I know. So what is your favorite genre?
Women's fiction with a literary edge, but I also really like memoir.
Okay, I like it. Who's your favorite author?
Oh, that is such a tough question. You know, right now it's probably tied between Diana Gabaldon from the Outlander series. She's such a great author. Or Kristen Hanna, who actually lives on an island right outside of Seattle. So she's a local author. But I have been following her career for years. And I think she's writing, especially with the sort of breakout of The Nightingale and then The Great Alone, she's writing just fantastic, very nuanced, very deep books.
Yeah, she writes like sweeping historical novels that just dive into. It's like a mix of women's fiction / historical fiction / just a great story to just witness and enjoy.
Yep, exactly.
What are your top three favorite books of all time?
Oh, let's see. Little Women. That was my favorite book growing up. And then I would probably say Wuthering Heights, which was my favorite book in high school because I have such a I like the drama and the human drama. And then most recently, I would probably say Gilead by Marilynne Robinson. I just was blown away by the depth and the beauty of that book.
Mm. What has been a book that you read this year that you loved?
You know, I read one recently by a fellow author from my same publisher called The Solace of Water by Elizabeth Beiler Yunz. And I loved it from the first page to the last. It is historical women's fiction. It's set in Pennsylvania in the 1950s, and it's about a Southern African-American preacher's wife and an Amish woman who are neighbors in Pennsylvania, and both have suffered a really terrible loss. And it's about them forming a very unlikely friendship in the midst of grief, in the midst of racial issues, in the midst of secrets, lies, guilt, and the repercussions that secrets have in our lives.
That looks so good. I'm definitely going to pick that one up for sure.
It's beautiful. It's all about forgiveness and it's beautiful. Yeah. The Solace of Water by Elizabeth Beiler Yunz. And she actually grew, I think she grew up Amish. So she's got some really interesting, very, very authentic insights into community. That's really cool.
That's really cool. So what is your go-to book recommendation?
Okay, well, here's the deal. I do not have a book recommendation. I do author recommendations. So more than single books, I just say, hey, here's the author. So I always recommend Kristen Hanna. I recommend Marilyn Robinson. And then I really, if people are like, hey, we just like good, well-written women's fiction. I'm going on vacation to Europe and I want a great, fun book for the plane. I really like to read Catherine Ray. She did a great series of books based on, they were modern, not interpretations, but modern stories that had some connotations to Jane Austen books. And and she does a great job. They're well-written. They are just super enjoyable. And so I recommend her as well, Catherine Ray.
I love it. Tell us where we can find you online.
So you can find me at www.rachellinden.com. And then you can find me on Facebook and Instagram. And definitely send me a message, make a comment. I love to connect with readers and I love to, I love to have conversations. I love people. So that's where you can find me.
Thank you, Rachel, for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Laura, for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you, Rachel, for a great interview. For show notes and a list of books mentioned in this podcast, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back this Thursday with the Bookish Recommendation Show. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.